Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, October 8th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching about generations. The Old Testament lesson is from Psalm chapter 145, verses 1 through 13, and the Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17.
Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. This is chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron. And Hezron, the father of Aram. And Aram, the father of Amminadab. And Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. And Nahshon, the father of Salmon. And Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah. And Uzziah, the father of Jotham. And Jotham, the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. And Manasseh, the father of Amos. And Amos, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Mathan, and Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Here ends the reading. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of all the ages, speak to us through these ancient texts to teach us your will. Use my words and study to bring all of us understanding. Help us to hear your word for us today and then have the courage to act on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That was a slog of a reading. All those hard to pronounce names and names that we don't hear, they're not familiar names. So honestly, how many of you kind of tuned out somewhere in the middle of there? there's all those names. It's about this piece of scripture. Like we say, scripture's important, but this piece of scripture feels about as meaningful as reading the phone book. And this is how Matthew chooses to open his gospel. If this were the opening titles for a movie and a modern film, the director would have not gotten his movie made. that this would not qualify as a catchy opener to us. And honestly, I've never preached from this particular passage of Scripture before. It's one that I tend to skip over as well. It's not part of our Revised Common Lectionary, which is a pattern of texts that come up on a rotation of every three years. Mostly, myself included, we skip the whole first chapter and jump to chapter 2, because that's when the action really starts. But that's how Matthew chooses to begin the gospel, with the genealogy of Jesus. There's also Jesus' genealogy in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, as well. And oh, by the way, the names of the ancestors Luke cites are not the same as the ancestors that Matthew cites. That's a sermon for another day, but it's complicated. But Luke tends to say Jesus is the son of, who is the son of, who is the son of. But Matthew says, this is the father of, who is the father of, who is the father of. So, genealogies. How many of you have somebody in your family who has looked up your family's genealogy? Oh, wow. Wow. Great. For me, it's my second cousin, Warren, who he traveled to Japan, and he traced some of our relations and stories there. It's helpful that he can speak Japanese. And he did it all on the computer. He has a spreadsheet that takes like 6 pages to print the whole thing out. And that's only for my mom's side of the family. I don't know as much about my dad's side of the family. So I'm curious, for those of you who know about your genealogy, what have you found out about your ancestry? Any famous ancestors? Huh? John Brown. Tell me about John Brown.
Harper's Ferry.
Okay. Good deal. Who else is somebody famous in your genealogy? Or infamous? Any infamous ancestors in your genealogy? You're not going to own up to it, right? Yeah. Excellent. Oh, 3 times. Excellent. What else have you found in your family history, family tree? Who are you connected with? Yeah. Lewis from the Lewis and Clark expedition. Excellent. Excellent. I found out that Jane Sexton this morning, she's related to Gutenberg of the Gutenberg Bible. Wow, isn't that amazing? Jim? William Bradford. Okay. Yeah.
Ellen's father, who was a World War II naval submarine hero and retired with 3 stars.
Okay. Helen's grandfather? Your father, retired admiral. And is he the one who's listed in the St. Peter's Chapel?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else related to somebody? Gene? Huh? Mike?
I found out that my family immigrated to the United States.
Oh my goodness, the same family that your family emigrated with from Ireland then stayed together through all these different moves. Wow. Wow. Any infamous ancestors? Yeah? Wow, related to somebody who attempted, sounds like did not succeed in stealing the crown jewels. I found out this morning from my husband that he's related to Benedict Arnold, but wasn't supposed to tell anybody that. Yeah.
My distant relative, Brigadier General Ham, tried Benedict Arnold.
So you and I are
in absentia.
Yes.
So
The siege of Yorktown.
Okay.
Yeah, Bob. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, you've got some veteran ancestors and ancestors from the Revolutionary War. Yeah, right. Anybody part of the Daughters of the American Revolution? Yeah, like if you can trace your ancestries there, you know, there are folks who keep track of that. Any other ancestors? Wow. I love hearing who people are connected to. What is your own family story? What? One more? Oh, yeah. Yes. Wow. So Mary's grandparents helped feed people in Santa Rosa. They were hardworking farmers. And you were blessed to know all four of your grandparents? Wow. That is wonderful. Yeah. Did I miss anybody else? Oh, yeah. Okay, ancestors involved in the Boston Tea Party. On what side? Oh, the rebel side. Okay. Well, you know, when it's your own family story, right, your own genealogy, you might be a little more interested in it than just a list of names. But knowing Jesus' family tree seems like a part of the Bible that doesn't really have a lot of relevance to us. But we are part of his family tree. Now, Jesus has the famous ancestors. His most famous ancestors that Matthew starts out with is that he comes from the line of Abraham. Abraham was the first of the ancient desert forefathers that God had approached. God called Abraham out of his land and to follow Yahweh specifically. God made a covenant, which means a promise with Abraham, and said he would bless him. This comes from Genesis 17:17. God says to Abraham, I will establish a covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, and throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And so Jesus, the Messiah, is linked to that same covenant promise. And also, the other famous ancestor that Matthew wants us to make sure that we know is that Jesus is linked to David. David, the king, who established the state and a capital and was the king during the golden era of Israel's history. In Jesus' time, the people were longing for a king like David, for a second rise to prominence. And so at Christmas, we remember that Jesus is said to be born in Bethlehem, which is the city of David. And Joseph is named as a descendant from David. Interestingly enough, Jesus gets his lineage through his father's side, even though the Holy Spirit is involved more on Mary's side. Jesus also has his fair share of infamous ancestors. Laura was reminding me, including four women who are named in this genealogy. Ruth, Tamar, Rahab, who was a prostitute, and the wife of Uriah, who we also know as Bathsheba. So not all of Jesus' ancestors were the pure, upstanding citizens. But then there's all these other names. We have 14 generations from Abraham to David. From David until the deportation to the exile, there's another 14 generations. And from the deportation until the birth of the Messiah, 14 generations. Some scholars say there's a numerology to this, that the number 14 is significant, because DVD for like David would have also equaled the number 14. So we highlight Abraham, and we highlight David, and we go, oh yeah, we remember there are some not so upstanding characters. But then, what about all those other names that we know very little about? Do you know very much about Abiud? Salathiel? Eleazar? I mean, what did Salathiel accomplish anyway? And we don't get to hear about these men in any other place. And yet, if they weren't there, they wouldn't be in the line that brought us Jesus. So yes, there are all these names that I managed to slog through without tying my tongue into knots this morning. But I think the relevance of Jesus' genealogy for us today is about recognizing how God has been faithful from generation upon generations. Not that God has just been here and been doing things for the last 5 years or for our lifetime, but that God has been faithful for the last 5,000 years. And that's that same celebration that's shared in Psalm 145. And the very anthem that the choir sang came out of that same piece of scripture, telling of God's greatness. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. God's dominion is through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and gracious in all his deeds. And so we get to sing that song along with generations who have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, who are included in Abraham's covenant, who are part of David's kingdom and God's kingdom, and part of God's family. And being in God's family means that we get a faith genealogy in addition to our biological one. For the story of God, the story of the salvation and importance of Jesus reached you somehow, for you to be here today. For me, my faith genealogy comes through my mother's side. And it doesn't go back much farther than that, because my mom was raised by her grandmother, who was a Buddhist. And so when I would visit her household, she spoke only Japanese, there'd be the little temple in the corner, and I'd be like, I don't know what to do with that. But when my mom was a young adult and was done with her college education, she moved from Hawaii to the mainland, and moved to Southern California to be a nurse around UCLA. And she ended up going to the West LA United Methodist Church, which was a Japanese-American congregation. I'm grateful for Christians there who taught my mother about Jesus, because then she was able to tell me about Jesus. Now, none of those people who helped my mom in her faith when her faith was new are names of people I know. I don't know who her pastor was. I don't know who helped lead her Bible study. What I do know is that that congregation was a faithful church family who welcomed in a single young woman into a new city and made her part of the family of faith. Who I can remember are some of the other people in addition to my mother who are part of my faith genealogy. I especially remember my Sunday school teachers. They're the ones who taught me about Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his colorful coat. I especially remember Elaine Klesig. She was one of those saints of the church at Rolling Hills United Methodist Church, who, even though her own children had long since grown and were out of the house, always had a commitment to teach Sunday school because she loved to tell the stories of Jesus to children. I remember the pastor who taught me confirmation class, and then there were the friends who nurtured me and stayed up late trying to figure out why there's evil in the world. So I wonder for you, who is a part of your faith genealogy? Who shared good news with you? Is there a particular pastor? Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent or a sibling. Maybe you came to faith because you could see the power of prayer. Somebody you knew who was one of those prayer warriors. Maybe it was summer camp and camp counselors. Maybe it was at a revival. Sometimes it doesn't even work from an older generation to a younger generation. I knew a child who at about 8 was asking so many questions about God that his mom thought, maybe we got to go to church because I don't know how to answer all his questions. And so he came and his mother brought him. And then when his mom was there, she started to learn about Jesus and went, oh, this affects my life as well. And the two of them were baptized together. We have received the good news, been passed on to us through God's faithful people. And those people were not necessarily famous, or hopefully not too infamous, in order to be here today. And now, we who are here today, it is our turn and our time to pass the stories of Jesus on to others. And just like the people and the names of Jesus' ancestors like Jehoshaphat, the call is the same, to be able to tell of God's great works to the next generation. It's because we are the ones alive today. We may be one of those in-between generations, but we are the ones now entrusted with the amazing message of Jesus Christ, of his salvation for us, of his life, death, and resurrection, of his grace for all humanity. That is how Community Presbyterian Church in Vallejo came to exist in the first place. 74 years ago, there was a gathering of faithful followers who said, we want to witness to the community in this city that God's good news is for all people. And that same purpose continues to be our mission and our reason for existing today. That's why we're here, to invite others to know of the grace in Jesus Christ, to show God's love for all, including the poorest of the poor, through helping our neighbors in need, to teach the faith to younger generations, and to join our voices with those generations before who sang and said Psalm 45, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. May it be so. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.